the Democrats vote above. They're kind of the good part of your septic tank, okay? You just get that filth out of the bottom, and the good part can flow back up, and maybe you can give your grandchildren and mine
a chance, an opportunity.
This is the Quality News Network. As the violence continues in Iraq, the number of American military deaths has now risen to 87 since the 1st of October, making this the deadliest month for U.S. forces in more than 2 years. In addition, militants targeting shoppers and police recruits have killed 44 Iraqis in the past 24 hours, and another 50 bodies, most of them tortured, have been found dumped throughout Baghdad. Iraq's deputy prime minister is in London, where he's cautioning against defeatism and panic with regards to the current military strategy in Iraq, saying that Iraq is vital to the world's future. British Prime Minister Tony Blair has assured him that Britain intends, in Blair's words, to hold its nerve in Iraq. In Washington, on the other hand, the White House is saying that Iraq's government must step up and take more responsibility for that country's security. A new poll by the U.S. State Department shows that majorities of young Iraqi males between the ages of 15 and 29 oppose joining the Iraqi army and believe that Iraq's security would improve if U.S. troops were to leave. Israeli forces have killed 7 Palestinians and wounded 20 in the Gaza Strip in what it says was part of an effort to curb rocket attacks on Israel. At the same time, several Israeli cabinet ministers are calling for a military operation to retake Gaza's southern border to prevent rockets from being smuggled in. Panamanians have voted to expand the Panama Canal so it can accommodate larger ships. The $5.25 billion project will involve building a third set of locks and creating 40,000 jobs to do it. A Republican congressman in Southern California vowing to stay in the race despite calls from his own party to bow out because of questionable campaign tactics, which are now under investigation by the state. His campaign had sent out notices to Hispanic voters telling them they could be arrested and jailed if they showed up on Election Day. Illinois Senator Barack Obama, a Democrat who previously said he had no plans to run for president in 2008, now says that once next month's elections are over, he may consider it after all. In New York City, searchers returned to the World Trade Center site today to look further for remains of 9/11 victims. This follows the discovery of some human remains last week and over the weekend by construction workers at an underground work site. Some victims' relatives are demanding that construction at the site be halted until a thorough search is conducted. A Pacific hurricane named Paul heading for Baja California expected to pass near Cabo San Lucas sometime tomorrow. And Emmy Award-winning actress Jane Wyatt, best known to baby boomers as the mom in the 50s TV series Father Knows Best, has died in L.A. at the age of 96. This is the Quality News Network, science and business news coming up.
Tune in to the Quality News Network on election night to learn the results of perhaps the most important midterm elections in our nation's history. QNN will go beyond the scorecard reporting of the numbers. We will delve into the reasons why America voted the way we did and what it may mean for our future. Over the past 6 months, QNN has conducted over 215 interviews with candidates in the 2006 elections. All of the candidates are challengers for House, Senate, and gubernatorial seats from all parties from all 50 states. You can hear these interviews at qualitynewsnetwork.com. These are the people who have carried the banner of democracy during this vital election campaign, and they will be joining us on the air to talk about their races, why they won or lost, and what they learned about the process and the voters. So tune in to the Quality News Network on election night and learn where we are going from those who are going to lead us. Now back to the news.
Despite condemnation by conservation groups and many governments, Iceland has killed an endangered fin whale, breaking a global moratorium on commercial whaling that's been in place for 20 years. The Icelandic government says it plans to issue licenses to kill 8 more fin whales as well as 30 minke whales over the next year. The last Ford Taurus rolls off the assembly line this Friday in Atlanta. Ford is discontinuing the model, which was Ford's best-selling model between 1992 and 1997. The elimination of Taurus, part of Ford's previously announced plans to close 16 North American plants and eliminate more than 45,000 jobs. Ford's third quarter losses have been reported at $5.8 billion. That's the worst quarterly performance in 14 years for Ford. Enron's former CEO, Jeffrey Skilling, will be sentenced today in Houston in connection with the failure of that company. He faces a sentence of between 20 and 30 years in prison. And Halliburton has posted a better-than-expected 22% surge in third quarter net income, $611 million, on revenues of $5.8 billion. Gold is trading down more than $8 this hour at $588 an ounce. Silver's at $11.77. And light sweet crude down 77 cents a barrel, trading at $58.56. All the markets are higher on Wall Street this hour. The Dow is up 77 points at 12,079. NASDAQ is up 16 points at 2,358. And the S&P 500 is up 5 points at 1,373. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter. It's now 5 minutes past.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
Okay, thank you, Bob. I'm glad to be back here in Chicago. How's everybody doing out there? I hope you all had a good weekend. I had one of those weird weekends where it just kind of, because I'm an insomniac, I just kind of drift in and out of sleep from time to time. Nothing really steady, nothing scheduled. So if I sound a little woozy today, that's why. And then already things are starting off. I just got it started. Everything got set up properly and all that, and I realized that my mouse, the battery in my mouse here was dying out, so I had to move the remote thing closer. And I can tell right away it's going to be one of those days. It's going to be one of those days. But it's still Monday, and I'm glad to be here. And if I'm right in saying this, and Agnes will correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that I'm going to be on the air all week. This not correct, Agnes? I'm sure she'll. You can let me know in the secret chat here. Yes, I am going to be on all this week, and this is because. And let me see if I get this right. This is because Bruce Birch is on hiatus or something along those lines, and Dr. Bill is taking his slot, so I am taking Dr. Bill's slot, and I believe that's correct. So it's just kind of a juggling of the schedules here temporarily, and we're waiting for Bruce to get back. And that's all. Where is Bruce, by the way? Just for my own edification, where is Bruce? Is he on vacation, or did he go out to check out the earthquake in Hawaii? Oh, he had some personal issues to deal with. I see. Well, I hope he gets those taken care of. God knows, I know what personal issues are. Not that I haven't had as much of them in all that. And you know, and I was having a very nice conversation with Agnes before we went on the air, and we were just talking about, you know, how certain people, you know, view things is so important. Like, you know, and I some of the stuff that I talk about is like American Idol. Why do people watch American Idol? And why do people in particular, they like to watch, I guess it's early on. I've never seen it, but I know they talk about it every time it comes up, where the beginning part where they show all the really, really bad people, and they're just essentially making fun of them, is all that they're doing. And I actually find that rather sickening, that some of these people are out there, and, you know, they're obviously, some of them are obviously mentally deranged in some way, shape, or form, and they just put them on there on public TV and just basically make fools of them. Now, we used to have a show many years ago, you younger kids don't remember it, called The Gong Show, which was one of my favorite shows of all time. It wasn't as pretentious as American Idol, and in fact, it intentionally went out and got really, really goofy acts. But I don't think they ever did any, you know, they ever put anybody on there who was just, like, obviously unstable and trying to make a, because, you know, you didn't win any big prizes. I think, what was it, some ridiculous sum that you won was like $237.14. Some really, and you got one a dirty sock. That was the other thing that you won. And it had all these little goofy routines. And some people came out of that. The Unknown Comic came out of that. For those of you who remember him, he was a comic who wore a bag on his head. And it was funny, he went, came out one time in a ventriloquist act, and he had a little, one of those little smaller paper sacks on his hand. And he came out there, and he goes, you know, what's your name? Sad Sack. Where are you from? Baghdad. And Chuck Barris said, get out of here. Get out of here. Pushed him off the stage. But it wasn't like American Idol. And now I think we have a culture now where we just like to make fun of other people. I mean, just and it's not enough. It's not enough to have an argument or to win an argument with somebody. You got to put them down. You got to make them feel bad. I mean, I see it all the time in the blogosphere. I see it among friends, among people who should know better. You know, there's no reason for it. And, that, you know, that's why, hang on a second. Got to fix my headphones that were sliding down here. Mean people suck. That's right, Agnes. it's just, I've noticed that. Again, with arguments, we really just seem to feel the need not just to win the argument, but to make the other person feel bad. And if you're out there, if you're listening, maybe you know what I'm talking about. You have friends that you're afraid to say something because if you say the wrong thing, they'll just jump down your throat. You know, not really like, directly mean, but just kind of snide remarks and little snarky comments. And I've had friends like that, and I wonder why I get involved with friends like that. And you start thinking even worse of yourself. You know, it may sound strange to some of you all, considering that I have a radio show and I like to get out there and spill my guts out in front of however many people are out there. But I have some self-esteem issues, and one of the reasons I have self-esteem issues is because when I was younger, I had a family that for the most part didn't support anything that I talked about wanting to do. And that I found myself involved with friends who would occasionally put me down. And as such, I have a lot of trouble taking compliments. And I mean, I have, Agnes and Bob and Ben Birch and all the people over on the, involved with the Hit On Network. And so they all tell me, you know, how great I am and how wonderful the show is. And I'm just like, part of me just doesn't even want to believe it. Partly because maybe I'd get a swelled head from all of it, and I already have a swelled head, but because how can you have an ego and a self-esteem problem to begin with? But that's me. I'm a living friggin' contradiction. Hey, before I do anything else, before I get on rambling even more, because we got to do this, I want to make sure everybody knows what the phone number to call is, 1-877-443-2366. And of course, I always welcome your calls. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. You get to talk to Agnes for a couple of minutes before she lets you on the air. Let her know what it is that you want to talk about, and we'll get you on and we'll talk. The people who called last week on Monday when I started, the ones that I was supposed to give the T-shirts to, they still need to email Agnes. It's agnes@headonradio.com. Is that right? Resend that email to me. And so that she can get your information from me so she can send you the T-shirts. Because, she's got them. Okay. So as soon as she gets those to me, those guys will get their autographed Chicago T-shirts. They're not Cup of Joe T-shirts. I ain't got the kind of money to buy my own T-shirts like that. But I will buy. They have some nice little touristy Chicago T-shirts here that I will personally autograph for those people for being the first people to call in on my new show here. I was on Saturday nights, as some of you know. Also, I want to say hi to everybody in the Head On Radio chat room. You just go to headonradionetwork.com and click on the chat room link and wait 25 minutes or so for the Java to load in. That always takes, and I have to log in like 5 minutes before the show starts, 5 or 10 minutes before the show starts, just so that the chat room will be up and running for me to be able to talk to people. It's agnes@headonradio.com, but she said she already got their addresses. So, I was welcome to call, and I want to reiterate, if you're a right-winger, you're welcome to call up, but if you're abusive and you start, giving me Republican talking points, I don't want to hear it because I'm sick of the talking points. And quite frankly, I'm sick of right-wingers to begin with, but that's another story. But we're going to deal with that when we come back and what's been going on with this country. But no, to get back to what I was talking about, I think there's some serious problems with people who take American Idol seriously, who take sports way too seriously. I mean, I'm a big sports fan. I watched the World Series game last night, and there was a really exciting game between the Falcons and the Steelers that I watched. And I love baseball. I love baseball more than any other sport, but I also like to watch football and basketball and hockey. You know, I'm a typical American male when it comes to that. But I think people just start to worship this stuff a lot more than they really should. And it really, really troubles me, especially with all the things that are going on in the country and all the important things that are happening. And I'll talk about that a little more after the break. Again, the number to call in, please give me a call and talk to me. 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON, and we'll have a little conversation. Because that's what this is all about. This is conversation radio, not confrontation radio. We'll be back in a couple.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
We are taking to the streets, sidewalks, paths, and parks across Canada in support of ALS research and to raise money to provide quality care for the thousands of Canadians living with ALS and their families. Please join us. Walk for ALS is a fun, family-friendly event occurring in more than 60 communities across Canada. We are walking because ALS is a devastating disease. The average life expectancy is only 2 to 5 years.
We are walking because every day, 2 to 3 Canadians die from ALS.
We are walking to provide hope.
We are walking for those who can't.
Most people with ALS will lose the use of their legs in the first 2 years of the disease. What would you do while you still could? For more information or to register for the Walk for ALS, visit www.als.ca/walkforALS.
Okay, we are back on the Cup of Joe Radio show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man's thinking man, voice of the radical middle, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, the number to call in, 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-4. Head on, and I certainly want to hear from you. And like I said, we'll have a little conversation, because this is conversation radio. This is the radio station with a heart, radio station with a soul, the Head-On Radio Network, and I am proud to be a member of that with all the different hosts that we have. And especially, again, I want to thank Bob and Agnes and all the people at Head-On and Ben Birch for helping me out, putting the show together, that is. What's been going on? You know, over the weekend, like I said, it was kind of a lost weekend. Because of my insomnia. And when I get insomnia, it's not just a question of not being able to sleep. It's not being able to much when I'm awake because my mind is too wobbly to think properly. But I did get to read Frank Rich's article in the New York Times last week. And in fact, there were two articles about Barack Obama, one on Sunday, one on Monday by Bob Herbert. And Rich's article really kind of hacked me off because he ought to know better, and he generally is one of the few people there that make any sense. But every now and then, he just comes up with some really, really weird stuff. And, you know, I went into some of the chat rooms, and I looked at some of the blogs and stuff like that, and I keep hearing all this, what I call Obigan stuff. And the Obigan is an anagram. I think that's the right term for it. It means, oh boy, Bush is going to get it now. You know, with all the different scandals, every time a new scandal come up, I hear the same thing. Oh, boy, they're going to get it now. Remember the last couple weeks ago when Bill Clinton got on Fox News and ripped Chris Wallace a new one? And everybody, you know, the way they were talking in the chat rooms, it was as if the Fox News empire was going to come crashing down that very day. But, of course, it's still there. Hey, look over there. Look who that is. That's Dennis Hastert. Did you know that he still speaks with the House? Has he been dragged down by the scandal yet? No, of course not. And actually, I'm a little bit surprised at that because, quite frankly, I didn't think Dennis Hastert was that high up on the food chain. You know, he's been a toady. He was basically there for not delay. Who was the other guy that got kicked out a while ago? He was there to Dick Armey. He was there to basically take Armey's place when Armey couldn't become speak with the House because of his own ethical problems. So, and they had the whole big thing about here, he's giving this speech in front of a cemetery and, you know, Atrios and all the other places calling him dead man walking. And I'm looking at this and I'm just shaking my head. You know, I've been hearing this garbage for the last 5 years now, and it was old then. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I do not expect much to change in the 2006 elections. Why am I saying that? Am I being defeatist? No. Quitting? No. But, of course, that's what everybody tells me when I say that. I have very specific reasons for believing that. And in a recent article in truthout.org, Molly Ivins agrees with me for the very self-same reasons. There's too much gerrymandering. There's too much election fraud. Too much suppression of votes by the Republicans. Too many instances where Republican campaign people control the means of election. What's going on in Ohio is very interesting. Ken Blackwell, the current Secretary of State, is running, and his Democratic opponent is leading by a huge margin. But since Blackwell is the Secretary of State, he's got his staffers out there digging up for something that they could disqualify the guy on a technicality. And there's one where they might try it. I'm not saying they will, but they might. Apparently, the guy has like two different residences in Ohio, and they're trying to make the case that, you know, he's using the wrong address, which is kind of stupid, because he still lives in Ohio. It's not like he's got an actual residence in Texas while claiming to be in, say, Wyoming, like Vice President Cheney, right? And, you know, that was something that people were pointing out during the 2000 election, that because Cheney was a resident of Texas, he and George Bush could not be running mates, because the Constitution says that you can't have two from the same state. One of those old goofy ass laws that they had back then, kind of like the Electoral College. And I'm going to talk about that one day because I've been writing an article. Maybe a little later on in the show, I'll talk about that. But no, I hear all this, you know, again, I call it O'Biggin stuff, and I hear all this, and I just shake my head, because I heard the same thing in 2002, I heard the same thing in 2004, and I'm hearing the same thing in 2006. And every time, the pattern is just repeating itself, and if it happens again this time, I'm just going to explode on some people. Because I'm tired of it. Because they're not addressing the problems. That's what I keep talking about. You're not addressing the problems. You're following the same stupid psychology that's got us stuck in this quagmire in Iraq. Just clap louder and everything will go better. No, it won't! You don't bring your fists to a gunfight. And that's what you're doing. I'm sitting there telling you, you got to bring your guns. And you're acting like, oh, if we bring our guns, then we're just as bad as they are. Oh, no, no, look. You got to fight these people, and you got to fight them hard. And you have to understand what it takes. Because they're not going to go away without a fight. They're not going to give up their power easily. They're pulling out all the stops. What was it that Agnes mentioned in the news? That was mentioned in the news with the Latino thing. The guy in California sent letters to Latino voters telling them they'd be arrested if they went out to vote. You know, and that's mild compared to some of the other stuff they're doing. You know, the thing with Blackwell's and other. If they do that, man, you know, and you think, well, people will get so hacked off. Well, you know what? Like I was saying in the last segment, I think more people give a damn about American Idol, who wins that or who wins the last football game, especially when you're talking about the South, for crying out loud, then they care about what's going on in their own country. Now, back to Mr. Rich's article, which is the original thing, and that's how I am, people. I just ramble on and I'll go off in some of the dimensions, you know, and I want to make things clear. I don't expect much to change in the 2006 elections. National polls don't mean a damn thing as far as regional elections is concerned. And another reason that we have serious problems, and it's that this is not going to be in any way, shape, or form like 1994 was to Republicans, is that people like Frank Rich and newspapers like the New York Times, who are supposed to be the legitimate press as opposed to the actual propaganda press that you would see from, say, Fox News or the Washington Times. And these guys, they continue to prove that they're not worth 1/100th of the big money that they make. Let me quote a paragraph of the Frank Rich article. It's just the most recent one from Sunday. And if you don't have the Time Select, unfortunately, you can't read it. And I get it from other sources. So, but this is what he wrote. He said, "The interminable Iraq fiasco has branded the Democrats as the party of fecklessness. The failure of its leaders to challenge the administration's blatant propaganda to gin up the war is a failure of historic proportions, as it was for much of the press and liberal punditry. When Tom Daschle, the Senate leader, presided over the rushed passing of the war before the 2002 midterms, he explained that the bottom line was for Democrats to move on. They couldn't wait to campaign on the economy." Now, you know, Mr. Rich only barely mentioned in those disparaging marks about the Democratic leadership, however truthful they may be, is not so much that it was a little bit from the press. No, it was major league from the press. It was nearly criminally irresponsible behavior of these so-called journalists, along with the so completely out of touch they may as well be from another galaxy punditocracy for the last 15 years, particularly the New York Times, which joyously pounced on and dissected every word spoken by any Democrat searching for something that could be misconstrued, and even sometimes when they couldn't find something, they made it up, while gleefully ignoring the outright lies put up by Republican propaganda machine. And it's something they're still doing. If the Democratic leadership is feckless, sir, it's because instead of acting like referees, the so-called pros are acting like gossip columnists. That is, the ones who aren't actually spreading propaganda outright. Iraq is a purely Republican fiasco. Blaming Democrats for it is like high school teachers blaming a nerd who gets his butt kicked regularly by the jocks. Fight back, they say. But, of course, when the nerds fight back, it's the nerds who get dumped on. It's, after all, the jocks who are the glamour boys, right? Yeah, how many TV shows do you see about the nerds in school, but you got, you know, TV shows about high school football now and movies about football and how wonderful and glorious football is to build men, which, of course, is a perfect translation for them to go in the army and get their heads blown off. And the only nerds we admire are the nerds who use their brains to get rich. We'll admire Bill Gates a lot more than we'll admire Stephen Hawkins, right? Or Mario Cuomo. You know, we spit on intelligent civil servants like Cuomo, like Bill Clinton, like Jimmy Carter and Al Gore. You know, I remember Maureen Dowd. Al Gore is too boring, darling. We can't have him for president. He's too boring. And yet, you know, now that things have gone the way they are, they're saying it's the Democrats' fault. No, it's not the Democrats' fault. It's not the fault of the people who stood out there and protested the war and tried to get it to stop. It's the Republicans' fault, and it's the press's fault for pushing the Republican agenda instead of being like actual journalists. I'd like to talk to you about this some more. We're coming up on a break here, so give me a call, 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4HEAD-ON, and I will continue on this chain of thought. I'll be back in a bit.
This is the Head-On Radio Network, The Horn.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WBYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Goofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Homeland Security advisories are at the highest levels. If you have a disability or special need, you may have to take additional steps to protect yourself and your household in the event of an emergency. Contact your local Office of Emergency Management or Fire Department to find out about special assistance that may be available in your community. Go to www.floridadisaster.org for more information. This message has been brought to you by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida broadcasters, and this radio station.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fixed stuff, did some art projects with the kids.
Cleaned up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I could do everything now.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back on the Cup of Joe radio show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man's thinking man, voice of the radical middle, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, the number to call in, call me, as the song says, call me, 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And go in the head-on radio chat room and chat it up with some of the smartest people you're going to see on the blogs, on the internets. That's go to headonradionetwork.com and click on chat room, and that'll get in there. What was I talking about? I was talking about Frank Rich's article. Let me get into another paragraph. And this is as dumb as some of the other stuff that he was talking about was in this thing. Here's the dumbest. This is what I like. If the Democratic Party is to be more than a push party, it can't settle for yet another repackaging of its well-worn ideas, however worthy, with a new slogan containing the word new. It needs a major infusion of steadfast leadership. That's the one lesson it should learn from George Bush. Call him arrogant or misguided or foolish, this president has been a leader. He had a controversial agenda, enacting big tax cuts, privatizing Social Security, waging preemptive war, packing the courts with judges who support his illusions of constitutional rights, and he didn't fudge it. He didn't care if half the country despised him along the way. How much money does Rich make? Hell, hire me. I could write something just as stupid for a quarter of what he... The word for what Bush is doing, Mr. Rich, isn't leadership. It's criminal. Saying George Bush is a good leader for sticking to the point is like saying David Koresh or Jim Jones were showing leadership because of the steadfast way they convinced their followers to commit mass suicide. Let me put it as clearly as possible. The Bush administration, the Republican leadership, and their financial backers are guilty of war crimes, pure and simple. And they're not done yet. As I'm talking, as we're speaking now, there is an aircraft carrier task force heading for the Gulf region, probably looking to dump a few bombs in Iran, either days before or days after the coming election. Will they or won't they? One thing's for certain, there's not a darn thing any one of us could do to stop it. Not a darn thing. Now, if that happens, will the Times continue to portray any Democrat who speaks against it as a whiner? Probably. Then Rich can write another column about how feckless we are for not stopping it. Considering the criminal insanity that's been going on, I'd settle for a few worthy ideas, however well-worn they were. And I'd really like to see some smart people get elected for a change, and not just smart people with movie star looks like Barack Obama. Because, you know, that's really the reason why he's as popular as he is. It's not just because he's smart, and he is a smart guy. And he's also my senator. Since I moved to Illinois, he's been my senator anyway. But, you know, I don't see that happening. You know, we really do have a string of intellectualism in this country. You got to be a jock or you got to be a movie star. I remember a friend of mine once described Bill Clinton and Al Gore as Kirk and Spock. Kirk was the charismatic guy who knew how to get the things done, and Gore was the numbers guy. And we're trying to force Gore to be more like, you know, Mr. Celebrity. And that's, you know, not his shtick. He's a smart guy, a very experienced government person. And you want experienced government people running government. And I don't understand that. I've always said, you know, the example I always give is, okay, who would you assume would be more moral people? Veterinarians or automobile mechanics? And normally you would say, well, veterinarians are more moral people. But when your car breaks down, you don't take it to a veterinarian. You've got people running government who hate the very idea of government, and who treat people who do want to be honest civil servants, regardless of whether a kind of ambition that they have, as some sort of moron. And, of course, anybody who shows brains is an egghead. You can't have that. You don't want to have an egghead running the country. I was talking on the... Who was I talking to the other day? I was talking about Lyndon Johnson. And, you know, whatever else you say about Lyndon Johnson, the way he handled the war, first of all, two things. One, he was obviously in personal turmoil over it. If you listen to the recordings of him talking about it and trying to figure out how to get out of it and saying it was how big a mess it was, you can see that how torn he actually was by the deaths and everything that was going on. but as president, he felt it was his duty to support it. You can't see that from George W. Bush. As far as he's concerned, the people in Iraq aren't even human. As far as he's concerned, I'm not human. Neither is pretty much anybody listening in this show or over in the chat room. We're not human, man. We exist so that he can make more money or so that we can do things to him. And if we're in his way, guess what? We'll die. We'll be killed. And they've got no compunctions for doing it. And meanwhile, he can pretend like he's the one who's actually doing stuff. You know, he gets to pretend to play that he's the warrior macho guy strutting around on the aircraft carrier after landing the plane, although he probably didn't even fly it anyway. Not that it makes any difference. There was a big photo op. Mission accomplished. How many years ago was that? 4 years ago? And then, you know, they try to weasel out of it by saying, well, they was referring specifically to that aircraft carrier. Yeah, right. And people fall for it. People fall for it. People say, you know, well, the president's approval ratings is in the 36%. What the heck is it doing up in 36%? There should be 0%. It should be, you know, it should be basically only him and a few other people that he directly works with that are still supporting him. And maybe his mommy and daddy. You know, and his brothers are the people who are in on the scam. That's why I keep saying about the Republican Party. There are basically three types of people who vote Republican. The people who are in on the scam, the people who want to be in on the scam, and the people who aren't aware they're being scammed. And this 36%, and of course when he goes from 33 to 36%, the press is like, oh, it's a bounce! He's bouncing! Soon he'll be up there in the 40s. Oh, boy. Popular president. Can't argue with a popular president. What was Clinton up, even during his impeachment trial? 60, 70%? Did he ever fall below 58% at any time during all that stuff? I don't think so. But yet, of course, Clinton was an unpopular president. And that's what I talk about the so-called professional media. What are they doing? What the heck is up with that? These guys aren't acting like pros. They're acting like rank amateurs. Hang on a second. I need to get a drink. Mountain Dew. Diet Mountain Dew. I know. It's bad for me. What can I tell you? I don't drink coffee, so I have to have the caffeine somehow. Where was I? I get so upset. And I just lose track of what I'm saying when I get that upset. But we've got serious problems in this country. And it's partly because of the propaganda, partly because the press aren't doing their damn jobs, and partly because we really don't want to pay attention. I mean, I really think historically, if you look back at history, it takes about 200 years to turn from a republican to an empire. And we've just about reached that point. And the only question I have is, you know, if we're going to follow that same pattern, when it's going to happen. And it's quite possible that our Republican fall and last for a lot longer as an empire than our Republic did. I mean, you know, the Roman Empire fell, but the point in time where it fell from a republic to an empire was like hundreds of years. And if you count the Byzantines, the Byzantine Empire fell in 1453. And the Roman Empire fell, you know, roughly around the time Jesus was born. So the Roman Empire lasted 1,400 years, as opposed to the Roman Republic, which lasted maybe 300 or 400 years before that. And we're reaching that point. And it's quite possible that we could be replaced by some sort of constitutional monarchy with a semblance of democratic institutions. Because they don't really have to go out there and do the whole fascist stuff. I mean, we are a fascist country, but they don't have to do it in the same way that the Nazis did it. Because, you know, that's the problem. When we talk about fascism in this country, you know, people just assume that you're saying, well, you know, we're not gassing Jews, so therefore we're not fascists. And it's like you want to pull your hair out because people don't understand what fascism is. And people don't want to understand what fascism is. What they want to understand is, you know, how's their job doing? How's Uncle Sidney's kid doing? Or all that, whatever local family stuff is going on in their lives. You grow up, you go to school, you get a good job, you get married, you pump out a few units, and you repeat the process. That's life. That's life to a lot of people in this country. What goes on outside of that little circle doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. And, of course, for a lot of people, it's a plain struggle just to survive. Can't involve yourself with politics. It's a miracle that some of us are still continuing to participate in politics, especially after, you know, I don't want to say it's a miracle for me, but when you consider everything that I've been going through for the last few years. Anyway, we're coming up on quarter till. We got to take a break. The number to call in is 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And we will be back after a few PSAs.
This is The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
We look to the day when you can live in freedom, and America and Iran can be good friends and close partners in the cause of peace.
See, this is where we get a really bad reputation. I live in a country where I'm not even sure if my vote's going to count in November. How free are you? How free are the people on the Gulf Coast? How free are the families that still grieve for the bodies dragged out of Aracoma and Sago? How free are they? He throws around precious terms with precious little regard for them. How free are we that chose by a wide margin in the year 2000, November 2000, we chose a man named Al Gore to be the president of the United States? How free are we that we were saddled with this ignorant, ignorant, hateful little man? How free are we? How free?
I'm Bob Kincaid. Join me weeknights, 7 to 10 Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty. And you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.org.
Okay, we're back on the Cup of Joe radio show. Was this mic live? Was this mic on? Well, I wasn't making any noise anyway, so I guess it doesn't make any difference. Unlike some other radio guys, I don't talk a lot during the breaks, mainly because I try to conserve my voice. Once again, the number to call in is 1-877-443-2366. My name is Joe Vecchio. Give me a call, and let's get right on to the phones. Let's talk to Sarge on line one. Hey, Sarge, how you doing today? Pull up a chair, have a cup of Joe.
Doing pretty good. Oh, man, I need that coffee. My sleeping habits are as bad as yours, buddy.
Yeah, I tell you. And the stress and the stuff going on in the country does not help. You know what I mean?
No, you know, and especially if you're in a situation like I am where you've got things that you can flash back to that's not stuff you want to really have to redeal with. And
I hear you.
The things that's going on, they really make you do it. And of course, I'm on medication for you know, problems that I have physically. And all this just really doesn't help. It's you know, and especially when you're dealing with Katrina like I am.
Because are you in the LA area, the Mississippi coast area?
Yeah. I'm 85 miles from Gulfport.
And wow. So you got hit really nasty, didn't you?
I'm less than 100 miles from New Orleans. So I didn't get hit as bad as Jackson County. Jackson County, well, you can go to our website, unreportednews.net, and you can go back and read some of my articles on some of the atrocities that's being committed down there by FEMA and the Bush administration and the governor of Mississippi, Trent Lott, and all of them. There's been some really dirty stuff. In fact, Ray and I are going down there tomorrow, and we're going to be calling in reports and hopefully have some live interviews for the different horn shows with people that have stories to tell down there.
Well, if you're there downtime for my show, just give a call because I'll be on the air tomorrow too. So.
Well, we're planning on trying to be there right at the very beginning of the first broadcast.
And you know these people were for the most part hardcore Bush supporters along that area, weren't they?
Yes, and Trent Lott's home county is Jackson County. And right now, he's about as popular there as Bush is with me.
Well, you know, maybe he ought to take Jesse Helms' advice. Remember when Jesse, when Clinton was coming down to North Carolina, Jesse Helms said he better bring an armed guard?
He better bring an armed guard because there's so much going on, Joe. I don't know if you've ever heard me talk to some of the other hosts about it, Malloy or Bob, Bruce, or any of them. But it's what's going on down here is so atrocious and so sad and so disgraceful that I just can't impress on you the situation that these people are in. It's just, it will make you cry. It will make you ashamed. I talk to FEMA. I talk to Homeland Security man this morning, and I believe that's the meanest and the most obnoxious man I ever met in my life. He was just totally, totally hard to deal with.
Well, you know, you guys are a big inconvenience. I mean, you know, here this guy is, this political crony, who got in there thinking he'd have a nice, cushy little job, and he found out it was real work. And you're just a reminder that, you know, he has actual responsibilities that he doesn't want to deal with.
Well, I was kind of waiting for a knock at the door or even just busting through the door from Homeland Security after I got through talking with him because the first question I asked him, what is the status on these people who are going to be kicked out of these egg sites, which is trailers, a bunch of FEMA trailers put together in a community, and they call them egg sites because the structure of them is so poor that they're just like eggs covering people.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not much there to start with. But now the word that has been reported in the Mississippi Press newspaper is that they are going to close at least one egg site, and it's going to put people out on the streets with no place to go, and FEMA has no plans on relocating these people. And
Let me guess, are they mostly people of color, or are they poor whites, poor southern whites?
I'm going down there tomorrow, and I'm going to look into the site and see what I can find out about it.
Sarge, I'd appreciate it if you give me a call tomorrow during the show, and maybe we can talk to some of the people down there and find out what's going on, because that would be great.
I'm going to try my hardest, because I hope it works out where every host will have at least somebody to talk to. That's how much is wrong down there. I cannot begin to tell you. The hospitals are overflowing. Suicide is 200% increase. Alcoholism is up. Mental health issues are beyond the point of being able to do anything to take care of all these people. The funding on a lot of cases have gone to cronies. The work is not being done. It is a mess.
And you know what really angers me is that people will see, well, the New Orleans Saints are playing back in the Superdome again, so everything's okay.
Yeah, it gives a false illusion. And, of course, now what people have to remember is with Katrina, there's two different problems. You've got the hurricane problem itself, which Jackson County, Hancock County, Harrison County, the Mississippi coast, I should have said, are the ones that bore the brunt of the storm. They got the northeast quadrant of the storm, which is your worst part of the storm. It's worse than the eye. At least you got a break in the eye. When you're in the northeast quadrant, you're getting pelted with the worst of the storm, and that's what these people got hit with. New Orleans really was spared a lot of anguish from Katrina.
Right. I remember in the immediate aftermath, we were talking, well, it looks like New Orleans was saved, and then we got the word about the flooding.
Right. And 24 hours before the breach of the levees, there was a film made, and the White House, George Bush, did see the film and classified it as so it couldn't get out, because it showed cracks in the levee, and it was obvious that the levees were going to break. Therefore, the federal government would have to take responsibility for that, and so they covered it up so they wouldn't have to take that responsibility of getting people out of the area.
Well, that's par for the course with these people, unfortunately.
I was talking to John Conyers' office today about it, and I actually broke down crying telling them some of the things, because the stories I would not even dare tell on the air.
And that's just the thing. I've talked a lot, about, how tough things have been for me and how tough things are for a lot of the people here who work at Head On, and they're doing the best we can under trying circumstances, but compared to a lot of people, we've got it made. I mean, I've got a nice roof over my head here, and, I may not have a lot of money, but, I don't have to worry about where my next meal is coming from. And you got millions of people out there in Mississippi and in Louisiana just dealing with this issue still after over a year.
Well, I actually feel overwhelmed, quite honestly, because when I started getting involved in this, I did not realize the magnitude of work that I would have for myself, and I am actually overwhelmed, because I can't do everything that needs to be done to get the word out, and the people down there that know about me are saying, Sarge, take care of yourself, don't get sick, just do everything you can to safeguard your health, because you're all we got. And I think about it. Here I'm sitting. I've got pinched nerves in both arms and my neck. I've broke my neck before, and I'm still suffering from it. And I've got degenerative arthritis in just about every joint in my body. And that's what they're depending on. I mean, God almighty.
It's just unfortunately the way things are now. And
but you know, I've answered the call to my country once before, or twice before actually. I've served in two branches of the military, and I put my butt on the line for this country. My life was affected by it. It will be from now on, and I've never regretted it until this administration. If I had it to do over, knowing what was coming, I'm not sure I could answer the call again.
Well, I hear you, because, you know, as a former veteran, too, or not a former veteran, a former serviceman, too, I understand exactly what you're saying. And, Sarge, listen, I hate to cut you off, but we're coming up on the top of the hour here. I really would like you to give me a call tomorrow, if you possibly can, to talk to some of these people down there. And if not, what I'll do is I'll arrange with some of the other hosts to get a recording of some of that, and we can play it over on my show, because this is stuff that needs to be heard.
We're going to try and then call in on every show, and I'm going to let you go. Thank you, Joe.
Take care, Sarge.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're coming up on the top of the hour here, and thanks to Sarge for calling. The number, once again, to call in for anyone else who wants to call in, 1-877-443-2366. And we'll be back for the second hour of the Cup of Joe radio show here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. October in Iraq is on track to become the deadliest for American troops in more than 2 years. At least 87 soldiers and Marines have been killed so far this month. In the same time period, at least 800 Iraqis, most of them civilians, have also died. Militants targeting shoppers and police recruits killed 44 Iraqis in the past 24 hours. Another 50 bodies, most of them showing signs of torture, have been found dumped throughout Baghdad. The majority of young Iraqi males aged 15 through 29 do not want to join the Iraqi army. That's according to a new poll by the U.S. State Department. Those polled also think Iraq's security would improve if U.S. troops were to leave. In London, Iraq's deputy prime minister is cautioning against defeatism and panic with regards to the current military strategy in Iraq. British Prime Minister Tony Blair has assured him that Britain intends, in his words, to hold its nerve. In the Sudan, the UN envoy has been ordered by the Sudanese government to leave the country within 3 days. The official reason? Statements he made on his website that the demoralized Sudanese military had recently lost several major battles in Darfur. The U.S. and South Korea are meeting to try and craft a free trade agreement. The U.S. is asking for greater marketplace access for products such as automobiles and pharmaceuticals. The South Koreans say they want any agreement to include North Korea. In Panama, voters approved expansion of the canal to accommodate larger ships. That $5.25 billion project will build a third set of locks and create 40,000 jobs. In Southern California, a Republican congressional candidate vows to stay in the race despite calls from his own party to bow out. The Vietnamese immigrant sent out notices to Hispanic voters telling them they could be arrested and jailed if they show up on Election Day. And in Illinois, Senator Barack Obama now saying he is considering a run for the White House in 2008. Hurricane Paul is heading from Baja, California. It's expected to hit Cabo San Lucas sometime tomorrow. In Boston, a commuter train crashed into a flatbed truck this morning. 20 people were injured. In his latest book, former German Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder says President Bush often referred to God in his meetings. Schroeder says that worried him that religion might be influencing the president's political decisions. Schroeder served as Chancellor of Germany for 7 years. Bangladesh, at least 15 people have died after a crowded ferry capsized following a collision with a cargo boat. And Emmy Award-winning actress Jane Wyatt, best known to baby boomers as Margaret Anderson in the 50s TV series Father Knows Best, has died at the age of 96. This is the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
Archaeologists in Egypt have unearthed three tombs erected for dentists who treated the pharaoh families of 4,000 years ago. Their tombs were protected by hieroglyphics threatening grave robbers with consumption by a crocodile and a snake. Enron's former chief, Jeffrey Skilling, is to be sentenced today in Houston for in connection with his failure with the failure of that company. He faces a sentence of between 20 to 30 years in prison. Disappointing sales of pickup trucks and the cost of employee buyouts dragged Ford's third quarter loss down to $5.8 billion. The nation's second largest automaker has already announced the closure of 16 North American plants and the elimination of more than 45,000 jobs. In fact, this Friday, they will manufacture their final Taurus. Ford Taurus rolling off the assembly line Friday in Atlanta. It'll be the final one for the model, which was the carmaker's best-selling model between 1992 and 1997. And America's second largest toy maker says sales of its Play School toys and newest Monopoly board games raised third quarter profits and revenues. Hasbro's earnings posted at a $99.7 million. Light sweet crude oil is trading this hour down $1, $58.33. Gold is at $587.40 an ounce, down $9. Silver's at $11.68. And all the markets on Wall Street are higher this hour. The Dow Jones nearing 12,100. It's up 96 points at 12,098. NASDAQ is up 16 at 2358. The S&P 500 is up 7. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter.
Welcome back to the Cup of Joe Radio Show, the show that asks the all-important question, hey, you gonna eat that? And now, back again for another hour of truth and fury, here's the man your bosses hate, the voice of the working man's thinking man, Joe Vecchio.
All right. Thank you, Bob, for that wonderful intro there. How's everybody doing? I hope, man, that phone call from Sarge, it just sends chills down your spine, and it just gets me so angry thinking about that. I mean, you know, Eisenhower said that, I'm paraphrasing, I don't know exactly the words, but he basically said that every bomb that's built, every warplane that's built and stuff like that is basically money stolen from the mouths of poor people. And he's absolutely right. All the money that's being wasted in Iraq, and when I say wasted, not saying that I don't think we should build a better life for the Iraqi people. I think, you know, I don't want to get into that too much, but the truth of the matter is all that money just being stolen by companies like Halliburton and its subsidiaries anyway. And that's money that could be going to help these poor people out in Mississippi and in Louisiana, people who are still feeling the effects of Hurricane Katrina, something that was no fault of their own. And you got guys like this FEMA guy who are probably thinking that, you know, it's their own damn fault for just being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And not being wealthy enough to be able to get out of there and do anything. And, you know, that's the sort of social Darwinism that the Republicans believe in. You know, it's just like, you know, if you die because of that, or if you don't have enough money to do these things, then guess what? You don't deserve to live. Money is the do-all and the end-all of everything in their mentality. And, you know, they always try to Put a nice face on it and make it look like it's better. Turd garnish. That's the term I've just coined for that. Turd garnish. Putting garnish on crap, man. Because that's exactly what it is. It's turd garnish. Trying to make something that's really, really horrible look good, or at least not look quite so horrible, because there's absolutely no way. I was reading JuanCole.com. Five more American soldiers were killed. And there's nearly 1 million Iraqis that have been displaced from their homes since the invasions. 1 million people who have lost their homes. And that's just as bad as what's going on, you know, in the Gulf Coast and in Louisiana, those areas that are still recovering from the hurricane. If that hurricane had hit Dallas or some sort of similar national catastrophe had hit Dallas or Fort Worth or someplace where all these rich white folks lived, you could bet your butt they'd have been out there in an instant getting everything back to as much as suburban normal as possible, because you know there are still two Americas. There's rich America and there's poor America, and that's mainly, but not always, white America and black America, because black people tend to be, you know, have more poverty than white people do. It's an unfortunate fact, and it's not fair, because black people are just as talented and just as intelligent and just as hardworking as anybody else. But, you know, they've got the stigma, unfortunately, of having dark skin, and in this country, that's a definite disadvantage. Yeah, Agnes made the point, the insurance companies don't assume that acts of God happen to the poor, right? Acts of God only happen for the rich. There was a movie several years back, and I forget the name of it, about a black guy who wanted to be a reporter. And one of the things that he did, and it was an exaggeration, granted, one of the things that he did was he went out to a black neighborhood, and he got on his cell phone, and he called the cops saying there was a terrific murder and horrible murder down there in the corner of such and such street, which was in a bad neighborhood. And he's still waiting. 20 minutes later, half an hour later, nobody shows up. Then he goes to this rich white suburban area, and he uses his cell phone, and he says, pardon me, but I believe I noticed a woman stubbed her toe on the curb. And all of a sudden, six cops' cars come racing up. They go, did you see a lady here stub her toe, you know? Now, granted, this is an exaggeration, but it's not that much of an exaggeration. You know, if you go out to Atlanta, which, you know, really, in Atlanta, while it's got some nice areas, let's face it, you know, Atlanta is basically a small downtown area with mostly suburbs. A lot of people do not live in downtown Atlanta. They all live out away from the city. And you get the situations there. What was I talking about? You get situations where you have all these different neighborhoods, and some neighborhoods are going to be better taken care of than other neighborhoods. You know, and if you live out in the suburbs, you're going to get better treatment. And you got some areas, not far from where I used to live up in Alpharetta, as a matter of fact, the Country Club of the South, it's called. And it's basically a lot of really, really, really wealthy people live in this place. But there are a lot of other places that are like that, where relatively rich people, the upper middle class, people who make in the six figures a year or more, and they have what they call rich people's lights that go out of their subdivisions, where there's a light out of their exit from there so that they can at least have a light to get out of their place. And, of course, it's time so that whenever a car shows up there, they get a green light. And, you know, not time, but you know what I mean. If you go to a light and some lights are set on you step on it, there's like a plate in the ground or there's a light beam or something that they break, and it automatically indicates, okay, there's a car there to turn green, right? And, you know, that's what they have. So, you know, those poor slobs get to wait and watch these schmucks in their SUVs go around. You know, the thing about that is when the revolution comes, we know where the money is. We'll just go in there and loot the places blind and maybe burn a few to the ground. You know something? If it gets that far, I'll be perfectly happy to light the torch and set a few places on fire. If it gets that far. My purpose with this show, and my purpose with my blog and with whatever other thing I do, as useless as it might seem, is to keep us from getting to that point. But I am an old-style, working-class liberal. And what that means is that if the time is ripe for it and situation leaves you no other alternative, I'm all for going out in the streets, getting a baseball bat, and taking matters into my own hands with army of my fellow workers. Because you know something? A lot of the things, and I've said this before, and I'm going to just keep repeating it so that people understand it, the laws that help us as far as working rights are concerned, that are being slowly but surely deteriorated, 40-hour work week, overtime laws, 8-hour days, all of those laws came about. And the laws and the legislation came about because people took to the streets with rocks and clubs and bats and anything they can get their hands on, and they fought it out. They fought it out with the companies. And they fought for and they won their rights. The legislation came afterwards. There was a combination of that and the massive tragedies that happened, like the Triangle Waist Shirt fire, where I don't know how many people died. A couple of dozen people died in a sewing factory in Manhattan And they wouldn't have died except that the owner had the door locked to keep people from leaving. This fire happened like 5 minutes before the end of the workday, and people were getting ready to leave, but they couldn't leave because, you know, you got to have that last second, man. You got to stay till the last second. I'm sure you all work in companies like that. You know, and that's just the thing. Other guys, other liberals, you know, the college-educated people here in the Head On Network, you know, and they're wonderful people, don't get me wrong, but, you know, let's face it, a lot of those guys have never had to live through that. I don't have to sit here and talk statistics. I don't have to sit here and talk about, you know, something that sounds philosophical. No, I speak from actual work experience, people. And you know exactly what I'm talking about when I talk about things like this, because you know there are bosses that are out there like that. You know there are bosses that are out there like that. Hey, look, give me a call, 1-877-443-2366. I want to hear what you have to say. That was a really good phone call from Sarge there. But obviously I want to hear from anybody out there. So if you're out there listening, give a call, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And we're coming up on the quarter after the hour here, and it's time for our Puffy AmiYumi break. We'll be back in a bit.
Listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patty Peterson, and that's the familiar call for Donna Reed. And we'd like to invite you to this year's Donna Reed Festival. If you'd like to study acting from real professionals, then you want to join hundreds of other students from all over the country for workshops in the performing arts. I look forward to seeing you for a great week in Donna's hometown of Denison, Iowa. For more information, please dial 1-800-336-IOWA or visit our website, donnareed.org.
In the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, you can help people in need. Here are a few suggestions. Contact your local Red Cross. Donate blood. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW. You can also donate money. Go to redcross.org. And as well, you can contact your local church, synagogue, or mosque and find out what they're doing to help people affected by Hurricane Katrina. Thank you for your help and get involved.
Thank you.
Okay, and we're back on the Cup of Joe radio show. Let's just get right to the phone, shall we? We've got Cody from Powers and Morrison on line one. Hi, Cody. Pull up a chair. Have a cup of Joe.
Oh, okay. If you insist.
I'm sorry?
Now, I said if you insist.
Okay.
How are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm okay. You know, I'm a citizens media journalist for powersandmorrison.com, and I just wanted to just get out there that there's a war on citizens media right now. There's certain correspondents for us at PNM that have been harassed by law enforcement, but the main person who's making a great sacrifice for all the bloggers, for everybody who would want to consider himself citizens media, is a colleague of mine, Josh Wolf. I'm out here in San Francisco, and he's in Dublin Federal Penitentiary for basically reporting the news, committing no crimes. But what's happening is that you have a federal grand jury, you have a federal controlled by a federal executive branch that's trying to suppress dissent. And they fear this internet media revolution that's going on. And in order to curb that, they're spreading fear by locking up people like Josh Wolf for refusing to comply with the illegal subpoena orders for all of his cameras, his tapes. He's a video blogger. So if you check out joshwolf.net, you'll see that what he does is he reports on certain protest activities, which we have a lot of in San Francisco and the Bay Area, and he puts up video, and the federal government has cracked down on people like that. And if you want to take a stand against them, you're going to go in jail, and you're going to hang out in jail. And the mainstream media is turning a blind eye because I think they're a little jealous of us. We steal a little bit of their thunder, and they don't want to consider us journalists, even though in California the courts and the way that the law works out here is that independent journalists like Josh Wolf, like myself, are protected under an amendment to our California Constitution, which the voters supported, which was a reporter shield law. There is no federal reporter shield law. And the distinction is it doesn't matter if you're mainstream press or your underground press, because San Francisco Chronicle reporters, two of them, are dangerously close to being in the same cell with Josh, because their headline from the San Francisco Chronicle said, "Silence means prison, judge tells reporters."
Well, unfortunately, it's been that way for quite a while. I mean, I wish I could say this was a new thing, but we've been kind of clamping down on the press for in different periods in this country for a long time, even going back to the early days of the founding with the Sedition Act, and then the act during World War I. So this, unfortunately, it just seems to happen every now and then. But, you know, and here's the thing about it. The Internet, and you're absolutely right about the Internet. The Internet is the greatest tool for communication that has ever been devised by humankind. And unlike with the books, or unlike with radio or television, where it takes great expense to transmit a message out, it can be done by anybody relatively cheaply. I mean, I just have a little microphone and a mixer here, and a computer, and an internet connection, and that's it. And a lot of the head-on people, same way. We don't need a lot, and that scares the hell out of them, because they don't have any control over us, you know, over what we say, and that just scares them, because we can actually do things that they can't do. Yes, some of us take advantage of it, and they start producing, you know, our own version of lies and gossip and stuff like that. But the thing about it is, in a lot of cases, we're doing a better job than they are. I'm sorry?
I said, like the Drudge Report, but absolutely. In fact, when I was writing my column on this for powersandmorrison.com, I found a law journal article by Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals Justice Kaczynski, and he said that people with a computer overnight can become a to-be-feared news source, because the amount of people that are now going to alternative media, and it's really the fault of the mainstream media that people are doing that, because I can't find, you know, left for Keith Olbermann, there's nobody worth watching on the mainstream news. It's all softball. And people
ask me why I never watch the news anymore. It's because of that.
Yeah, it is. I watched Larry King talk to Herbert Walker Bush, and he said, "You're the most esteemed president, and the most esteemed president," and he just kisses everybody's butt, and people don't want to see that. Maybe people on the right want to see that. People on the left don't want to see that. We're fed up, and we want to hear the real news, and the real news is the BBC and the UK Guardian.
Right.
You know, that's, I got satellite radio in my car so I could listen to BBC World Services, because that is a completely different perspective on news. I mean, they act fast and they're putting down the real reporting, and that's what I strive to do, and that's what a lot of other people are striving to do, especially Sarge, that just gave an excellent presentation on what's really going down there. You're not going to hear Sarge's perspective on the TV. They want to. That's over with to them. Katrina's over.
Or even with the magazines. And, you know, they know what's going on. What was it? Was it Newsweek just a couple of weeks ago? They had one cover for their European and for their Asian editions, and a completely different cover that was total fluff for the American edition. And there was Newsweek magazine, and it was the European and Asian had a big picture of a Mujahideen in Afghanistan, and it was, are we losing Afghanistan, or something to that effect, on the front cover. But on the U.S. edition, it was something about some photographer, you know? And that's the sort of thing that we're getting. So the fact that they're doing this in their different area magazines shows that they know what's going on. They just either can't or won't tell us. You know what I mean?
Yes, we're the least informed and most entertained culture, especially in the first world. Gosh, it's mind-boggling, and courageous people like Josh Wolf. He doesn't have to be in jail. It's a grand jury subpoena order he's not complying with, and he's going to hang out there until either the Court of Appeals handles this, which they, so far he's been getting justice denied at every turn, or we make a priority. Progressives have certain priorities, and they push them, and then their representatives take note of that. One that needs to be done, and I hope Nancy Pelosi, if she takes the House, she's from San Francisco. People don't understand that's her district. We need a reporter shield law, and I hope that she spearheads the reporter shield law issue, because I have a meeting with the Ross McCreamy of San Francisco City Supervisors about this on Thursday, and he's the one who actually had a resolution passed condemning them jailing someone in his district. So you have no local control, you have no states' rights, you have no 10th Amendment, because when the district attorney and the city supervisors can come out and say, leave this guy Josh alone, he's not a criminal, and the federal government says, no, we're going to step into your sandbox and lock up your citizen, that should be terrifying, because that's what police state, that's what the conspiracy theorists have been talking about for a long time, is actually starting to manifest itself in reality.
Well, it doesn't happen quickly. Like I've been saying, we watch the History Channel and we make it sound like everything that happened in Nazi Germany happened quickly, quickly, wham, 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 this and that. But it took many, many years for it to get to that point. And just like it's taken many years for us to get to that point. And, of course, you know, Bush just signed that law. And I don't know if you saw his attitude when he signed it, but he signed it with one quick flourish and slammed the pen down like, yes! And, you know, basically, if he wanted to, he could just declare this guy an enemy combatant and throw him in Gitmo and lock away the key and never have to talk to him again.
And
you know, there wouldn't be much of anything we can do to stop him.
And we're not superior to the people in Germany. You know, when I try to make that comparison and someone smiles or laughs, I was like, do you think that you're somehow superior to the people in Russia or the people in Germany, the people in Spain or Italy? No, we're not. We're all human beings, and they got duped into a totalitarian government, and we can get just as easily could fall for the same trap. And
every nation that aspires to global domination has to go through this at one time or another.
Gosh, why can't we learn? just learn. History is the most controversial topic, and it's so watered down in schools, and that's a shame, but that's what it comes from. If history should scare people into walking a straight path and not trying to sacrifice their freedoms for security, because we're not going to get either.
Well, that's what Benjamin Franklin said. You know, those who give up a little bit of security in order to preserve freedom deserve neither freedom nor security. And he's absolutely right. And you know, you're right about the way they teach history. I mean, I learned more about history since I left school than I ever did learning. Now, granted, I only went to high school. I only have a high school education. Maybe college education is much more detailed. But they really do need to teach more of this stuff in high school, and not just names and dates, which is the only thing they ever teach. This happened on this date by this person. This happened on that date by that person. And
a people's history.
They don't really.
By Howard Zinn. is an entertaining way of presenting history.
My favorite history documentary was called Connections. It was made by James Burke back in the 70s, and it talked about how all of our technology came about as a result of not necessarily random stuff, but a lot more chaotically than we think. It's not, you know, they always teach that it was like a steady progression from this to this to this, but, you know, how we got to this point was because this happened. So it's all really, you know, as a result of events that you really don't expect. You know, and you know, we pay almost no attention to military history. I mean, I've talked about this before. You know, the Battle of Hastings in 1066 goes the other way, and we're speaking Dutch right now, or a version of Dutch instead of English. You know, if that, I mean, it's a huge difference. It's just one day makes, one battle.
I believe.
And
could I ask you a question about Hastings? Because I need to review this. But
okay, but we've got to be quick because we're coming up on the break here.
I thought that there was something to do with that. People didn't stand up to protect the king from the invaders.
Well, let me tell you what. Cody, I want to continue talking with you. Normally I let people go after a break, but why don't you hang on to the phone, and we will continue this conversation when we come back from the break, okay?
Well, thank you.
Because I do kind of want to talk about this, and I like the way you're talking, so I want to, and I want to do this with more of my guests, too, because this little 5 or 10 minutes thing doesn't always work out. Let's go to a break. Cody, hang on to the line, and we're gonna continue to talk right now, okay? We're going to continue to talk after the break. So, Agnes, let's go ahead and we'll hit the PSAs and just keep Cody on the line. We'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Head On Radio with Bob Kincaid.
When? Somebody tell me when the United States of America went from a can-do country to a can't-do country. Was can-do washed away in the fetid floods of Katrina? Was can-do killed in the stinking sands of Iraq? Did can-do get buried in the dank and gassy hole of Sago number one? Where did the Bush administration go when they took can-do out and killed it? What happened to a nation that never said we can't? What happened to that nation that knew that the only thing it had to fear was fear itself?
Well, Mr. Kincaid, we've replaced that slogan. Now all we have is fear.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on the Head On Radio Network.
Here is the truth the oil companies won't tell you. Half the foreign oil they import to California is from the Middle East. As a result, California is dangerously dependent on foreign oil. Prop 87 means more alternative fuels and wind and solar power. And that means less oil dependence. Prop 87 is the one thing Californians can do now to clean up the air, help stop the climate crisis, and free us from foreign oil. The sooner we do it, the safer we'll be.
Homeland Security advisories are at the highest levels. If you have a disability or special need, you may have to take additional steps to protect yourself and your household in the event of an emergency. Contact your local Office of Emergency Management or Fire Department to find out about special assistance that may be available in your community. Go to www.floridadisaster.org for more information. This message has been brought to you by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Okay, and we're back on the Cup of Joe radio show, and we are talking with Cody from Powers and Morrison. Welcome back, Cody. You're the first guy I've held over, actually, so that's pretty
honored.
Cool,
thank
I think.
You. Especially my first time talking to you.
Well, you know, when I get rolling on a particular subject, and I am an amateur historian, and I love to talk about this stuff, especially in context with how things are going on. I like to keep that roll going. Now, we were talking about the Battle of Hastings, and I only want to touch on that briefly. I know you want to know some more specific details, but I want to talk about that in the context of how battles change things. Now, you know, Hastings, it was William the Conqueror, who was from Normandy, going over the Channel and attacking the English, who were Saxons, I believe. I don't know as much about it as I should, but I do know that King had set up a shield wall over in Hastings area, and the Normans kept trying to break the shield wall with their cavalry and couldn't do it. But near the end of the day, Harold's men broke ranks. And as soon as they broke ranks, it was over, because what the Normans had in their cavalry was a very simple little tool that we take for granted. It had been around a long time, but it made the difference, and that was the stirrup. And it allowed their archers to stand and fire arrows cleanly from horseback. And the Saxons were defeated, and England became Norman. And we speak English now because of that, because of when it was taken over, because the Normans were a Germanic tribe. You know, it goes all and on back. I could talk for hours about Charlemagne.
Allow me to interject there. You're talking about 1066 AD, correct? Norman invasion.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Now, there's another perspective to that, and one of my main areas of study is common law history of England. And what happened there is there's a lot of other historical accounts, and I'm actually reading from some of my notes on some studies I did on this topic, is that they were seen as liberators. The people there did not, the citizenry did not stand up and fight the invasion because they had a corrupt legal system. England
yes.
had a history of, Blackstone's commentaries on English common law illustrates this perfectly. They've had a history of a corrupt legal system. And when you have a corrupt legal system, people lose faith in the judiciary and they think it's a sham, and there's show trials and Gulag Archipelago or whatnot. They do not stand up. They see the invaders, not as invaders, but as liberators. And that's the most interesting side note in that that era of history. And it parallels today when, you know, we're getting a little closer to Stalin's style tribunals. You start hearing the words military tribunal and whatnot. It does remind me of Gulag Archipelago, which is written by two Russian lawyers who understand our legal system better than we do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I see with Josh Wolf. When we can have a conversation, and we're just like, yeah, they've been trying to suppress dissent for a long time, and yeah, they, you know, we got a history of breaking down solid legal principles in order for the times to terrify or to calm down some dissent.
Well, it just goes back ages and ages. I mean, you know, granted, I think England was probably better off under William the Conqueror than it was under King Harold. And, you know, in subsequent years, too. But, you know, it just, the fact that it gets to that point, even. And I had a thing that I produced. I produced a phony New York Times headline from 2032, I think it was. The dates weren't that important to me. But basically the headline was, Humbled U.S. Awaits UN's Verdict. And basically it was a kind of sort of prediction that the rest of Europe simply would not allow America to continue on the path that it's going down and took action, whether in military or economic. I didn't make any specific goals, but it was basically a reprint of a speech by the then president, or just called President Stevens for want of a better name. And, you know, part of it was just taken from stuff that had happened in Germany and stuff that had happened in, you know, the people there just kind of went a little nuts and allowed this thing to happen. And when it gets, and really, I think a big key to what's going to happen in the States is what's been happening in Iraq, because if there hadn't been a huge insurgency, we'd be in Iran right now. I've no doubt about it, that we'd be in Syria right now, because we'd think, well, that was a cakewalk, let's just keep going. And what the insurgents in Iraq have done have kept us from doing things a lot quicker than we'd like. Not that we're not going to continue to try, of course. But Rumsfeld said, what, we'd be greeted as, what, liberators?
Yes. And
throwing flowers at us.
Even McCain thought that, and then he flip-flopped his opinion.
Well,
but that's that liberator stuff, I don't think they believed it. They just push it on us because it sounds nice. There's an economist by the name of John Perkins who is a real bad guy, and he sort of switched sides and wrote his memoirs, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. And his whole job was to go around to these third world countries and set up contracts for the big Bechtel and the predecessors of Halliburton and whatnot. But what he perceives what will happen if we keep down this road is that you talked about economic sanctions with the UN. If you can't beat the U.S. militarily, look at their $8.5 trillion debt. The only reason why we're able to exist with that $8.5 trillion debt is because we print the money that the world trades in. If the world were to start trading in the euro over the dollar because they are mad and maybe they were scared of us because we were running around in Syria and Iran and Iraq and Afghanistan, we would have an economic crisis because China can call in their pound of flesh on us. And or money doesn't have the value that it used to because we're no longer, world trade is no longer trading. It's starting to trade in the euro for oils, for oil and OPEC and whatnot. And we, in that.
Right, I was going to mention that, yeah.
And that's a way of economic warfare against the U.S. to sanction us for bad behavior.
And that's, you know, what I keep telling people is that we can be taken out without a shot. I mean, why should the Europeans go through all the expense and money and trouble of trying to invade us when it'd be a lot easier to just take us out economically, and they can do it. And the only thing that's stopping them is because I think part of it is that the people of Europe are having a little bit of disbelief that we've gotten the way we are, although there's never been there's never been a love of the American government. I think there's always kind of been a love of the American people one way or the other, except for the ugly Americans that go over there and act like jerks. But there's always been a kind of case of, well, Americans will screw up sometimes, but they'll fix their own messes. And I think after 2004, they were kind of shocked because I think that they thought that we would get rid of that. Avedon Carroll over on the Sideshow in the UK says that's what kind of everything kind of changed in 2004. And how America is viewed is as much as a part of our power than our military might. And I think the people in charge don't understand that military might is only part of what we do to make ourselves a great nation. What really makes us great is our culture and our attitude. I mean, how we treated the Germans and the Japanese after the war were completely different from how we're treating the Iraqis and how we treat the Iranians if we even bother to invade them, which I doubt we could do anyway. So
it'll be a lot more tough. They will be a harder target than Saddam, without doubt. And,
well, there's what, nine times the population lives in Iran than lives in Iraq.
Yeah, if you think this is what I would say is, Mr. Cheney, if you think this is a quagmire, go. If you go into Iran, you're gonna wreck us, and you are gonna pull out, and you are gonna have to run away, and then you're gonna look like then you are gonna be the one cutting and running. If not, you're gonna be sacrificing. You're gonna have to draft, and then once you do that, finally, we'll have some larger protests.
Now here's what I think is going to happen. Because like I mentioned earlier in the show that there is an aircraft carrier task force heading to the Gulf region right now. And I don't think they're going to have any invaders setting foot in Iran. I think what they're going to do is have a big massive bombing campaign because that's really all they can do. And, you know, that'll, you know, have a good surge of patriotism either just before the election or as I believe they continue to hang on the Congress after the election, then they'll just do it afterwards because they figure they can do anything. Whatever happens, they can wait 2 years till 2008 and do a last minute stuff like they usually do. But I don't think they actually have to invade Iran in all that. And what might happen is in 2008, they'll schlep McCain on us somehow. And McCain will be the one to say, well, we're going to have, we're going to go out and we're going to have it because we need to have more sacrifice. And he can do it.
We're going to put
Bush
flag all over the Middle East.
And you know they're going to have McCain Powell. I think that's one of the things that they want. So you have the black issue right there with Powell, and you have McCain, who the press is playing up as a straight shooter, even though he's been lying his ass off about a lot of stuff himself. So, you know, and you never know. You try not to predict too many things. There are some things that I've been predicting that have been wrong, of course, but I've been right about these election stuff going on. And just God knows what they're planning. When you have a bunch of lunatics in charge, you never really know what's going to happen. And people who are capable of imprisoning. I'm sorry?
I was saying, don't give them any more good ideas, because that's actually a sellable combination to an uneducated electorate that doesn't put the magnifying glass of scrutiny over both of those men. Just on their face, they seem to be, maybe middle America can tolerate that because they're not extremists, but underneath they're damning their record. If you just look at their record, you wouldn't want those people to be represented.
No, of course not. Powell's always been a guy who's carried water for his bosses, whether they're talking about My Lai or the lies he told to help convince the country to get us into Iraq, and of course McCain, like I said, he hasn't been quite the straight shooter. Listen, I really do have to let you go now, Cody,
right,
because we're coming in a quarter of the hour.
Right.
It's been great talking to you. And
very good. If I may just give a shout out to joshwolf.net if anyone wants to better understand the issue of citizen journalists in jail, and also I write a few columns about it at powersandmorrison.com.
Okay, well, that's great. Well, listen, Cody, thanks again for calling, and we got the last 15 minutes coming up. Is it almost over already? Man, it's going fast. We got the last 15 minutes coming up, and we'll be back with after some PSAs with more on the Cup of Joe Show. Cody, thanks again.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Wad, Wally, and Goofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Great universities never set out simply to reflect the communities in which they exist. Rather, they serve as seedbeds of change in an ever-changing world. They take pride in being places where truth is freely sought, where inquiry is encouraged, where new ideas and new ways can develop and flourish at the expense of the old. When a true academic community, instructors and students together, acts and expresses itself freely, without fear, all of society benefits. Concord University is already using this new set of challenges as opportunities to serve in ways that strengthen its dedication to community, its commitment to service. In graduate education, in professional services to working professionals, in highly respected fields of study where standards remain high, in continuing to place graduates in the very best professional and graduate schools in the nation, Concord University remains the very best higher education bargain in this region. Don't ever allow yourself to accept anything less. Concord University, still since 1872, an education you can put to work. For an appointment, call 1-800-344-6679.
If you or someone close to you has a hearing loss, here are some great news. Thousands of Open Caption videos are yours to borrow, and it's all free. Open Caption videos make it possible for the hearing impaired to understand television. The Caption Media Program offers classic Hollywood movies, special interest, and educational videos. Visit us online at cfv.org or call 1-800-237-6213. You can register to be a user and make your selections from our online or printed catalog. It's just that easy, and we'll even pay for the postage.
Open caption videos are perfect for the classroom, your home, or even the workplace. The nonprofit Caption Media Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Education and administered by the National Association of the Deaf. Tell a family member or a friend about the Caption Media Program today. Bookmark CFV.org for free loan open caption videos or call 1-800-237-6213.
Okay, we're back for the final 10 minutes or so here on the Cup of Joe radio show. That was a very nice call. Thank you, Cody, from powersandmorrison.com. That's a very good site, by the way. I go there from time to time myself to read some stuff, as much as I get a chance to read websites these days. I've got my regulars and stuff like that. Oh, God. It just, you know, they asked me to before I go on the show. Gene, the technical guy, he asked me what topic I'm going to be talking about today, and I'm like, well, you know, I just talk about whatever. Generally, I talk about just what I've been posting on the site in the last few days. And of course, since I'm going to be doing the show every day now, I'm going to have to try to figure something out daily. But you know, there's almost always something going on in the blogosphere that I can talk about, and that's the great thing about this job for me. That, well, it's not really a job, I don't get paid for it, but you know what I'm saying. That's a good thing for me, because I've got such a damn big mouth that I can find almost anything to yak about for 10 or 15 minutes or so before we go to break. And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not. They're not all gems, people. But that was a real good call from Cody there. And again, it's always good to have a conversation with somebody. One of the things I wanted to bring up real quick, you know, in light of what Sarge was saying earlier about what's going on in Mississippi, and what Cody's going on with the journalist in jail, Josh Wolf, was that it? I'm sorry, you know, my brain is fried, so I can never remember stuff that easily. I was looking at the stock market, and the stock market is still at some unbelievably high level, 11,000-12,000. I'm like, and I'm not an economist in any way, shape, or form. Certainly not macroeconomics anyway, is not exactly a particularly good field for me. But why in the name of hell is the stock market so high? What is up with that? What's causing that? It's certainly not a good economy for working people. I mean, let's face it, you know, and again, I don't need to quote statistics to you out there. I don't need to simply tell you, well, you know, the gross domestic product is divided by the substantial work with productivity, blah, blah. No, I don't have to tell you that. You know, you're out there working every day. You know exactly what I'm talking. And by the way, I hope you are listening in at work. I hope you're slacking off at work and listening to the show, because I love it when people do that. Despite all the problems I've had with jobs and stuff like that, I always tell people to slack off. I tell people, if you don't like your job, quit. If you work for an evil corporation, like Walmart in particular, quit. You'll find a way to survive. I did. You can, too. Granted, it takes a certain type of personality to get out here and spill your guts on a radio show, but you know, and it's not so skill that everybody has, and I understand that and appreciate it. But, you know, I'm still like, you know, slack off at work. Because, quite frankly, the odds are very good, and not all companies are like this. I'm not saying that business itself is evil, that all corporations or companies are evil. They're certainly not. But my feel it is, for the most part in this country, the people you're working for are ripping you off. The stock market's up at 11,000 or 12,000 or whatever, and who is that good for? It's not good for us. Are we seeing any of that? No. There's a lot of people still making far less than a living wage. And a living wage, which for those of you who don't know the definition of a living wage, it's when you make enough in 1 week to cover your bills for that month. That's a living wage. At least to cover your rent anyway. Bills are separate. But if you can earn in 1 week what you're paying in rent for 1 month, then you're making a living wage. At my current job, I'm at half living wage, because I earn in about 2 weeks what I have to pay in rent, and the rest of it's got to go towards bills. See what I'm saying? And a lot of people out there are in the same boat and have to work two, three jobs just in order to make things, break even. It didn't used to be that way. There was a time in this country where someone who was even an unskilled laborer could at least earn enough to make a living wage. And I repeat myself a lot on this show. I'll use my dad as an example. 1965, 68, whatever, he was making like $6.50 an hour. And on that one salary, because my mother didn't work, on that one salary, he supported a family of five. And the reason he was able to do that was because everything else was a lot less costly. I mean, gas was, what, 30, 39, 40 cents a gallon? Eggs were like a nickel or a quarter a dozen or something like that. Milk was like a quarter a gallon. Rent, I think we only paid something like $80 a month for rent. You know, granted, we didn't live luxuriously, but you know what? You know, we had money in the bank. At least enough savings so that if there was an emergency, we could handle it. We always had food on the table. It wasn't, filet mignon, but it was good, solid food. Got me fat. Hear that? Got me fat. And you can't do that these days. And I got my two sons, my two youngest sons, are struggling down there in Atlanta trying to make ends meet, and they both work, and they're trying to pay for a two-bedroom apartment. And, they're both going to high school, too, trying to get their high school educations, finished up. And they're working hard, and maybe they might luck out and get some success. But hard work doesn't necessarily translate into success this day and age. And it's one of the things I told Christopher, my middle son. I said, when he started working, he was all happy because the bosses were happy with how hard he was working. And I said, just watch out that they don't take advantage of you. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, well, they'll start making you do more stuff, but they won't pay you more money. And he's like, well, don't worry about that. That won't happen to me. And sure enough, now what's he talking about? He's complaining that they're always asking him to do more and more. They're calling him on his day off all the time. It doesn't pay to be a hard worker these days because they take advantage of you. And meanwhile, the shareholders or somebody's getting rich off of the stock market, but it ain't guys like my sons. It certainly ain't me. It's not anybody out there who doesn't have the skills to do a professional-type job. In Atlanta in particular, if you don't work, like, say, in the medical field or in a profession that's good pretty much anywhere, but Atlanta's, turning out to be a city that has a pretty specific skill that it's good at, and that's medical stuff with the Center for Disease Control and Grady Hospital. If you're not in that, you can be in serious trouble. Because if you had to do what I had to do, and especially if you didn't have a car, then you would have a lot of trouble making it because there's not a lot of jobs out there. There's not a lot of jobs out there that are going to pay you anywhere near a living wage. I'm not making it with my current job, that's for sure. I'm happy to have it. Don't get me wrong. I like the job itself. I like the people I work for. My bosses are very nice. But, let's face facts. It's simply not enough for me to do anything more than just get by paycheck to paycheck. And the first emergency that comes up, I'm screwed. And again, I don't need to quote statistics to y'all to let you know this. You live this every day. What did George Carlin talked about comedian? He said, a comedian isn't going to tell you new stuff. A comedian just reminds you of things. You just forgot to laugh at it, that's all. Or in my case, you're just forgetting to cry about it because, it's a damn shame. And, all the talk that the Bush administration talked about, we're going to bring freedom to Iraq and all this stuff, they're bringing nothing to Iraq. And the truth of the matter is things are far worse for Iraqis now than they ever were under Saddam Hussein. Ever. Ever. And where is that money going? You know how much our taxpayer money is getting thrown down the drain there, and where is it going? It's not going for the Iraqi people, who might actually start to like us if we were doing things for them. It's not going to help us out. It's not certainly not going to the soldiers who still don't have the body armor and stuff that they need. I've said this before, too. Republicans hate soldiers. They'll sit there and they'll stand, they'll put them up as props to make them look good, but the fact of the matter is they hate soldiers. They think the soldiers are chumps. They do. They always have. They've always abused their authority over them. And we've got a total CEO president. I talk, I say, I give the order, and I expect it to get carried out. I don't really care. And I don't want to be around anybody that's going to tell me any different because, you know, I'm the boss. I'm the decider. Well, me personally, I'm not the decider. I'm the guy at the bottom of the pile. You know, Reagan's trickle-down economics, that's all nonsense. Only one thing trickles down, people. Only one thing rolls downhill. But me, I'm rolling uphill, and I'll be back tomorrow. I'll be back all this week. And we got to cut out of here because, my God, the show's over already. Time sure flies when you're having fun. Let me thank again Agnes, and let me thank Bob and Ben Birch. And again, let me thank all of my friends down there in the Head On Radio chat room. And this is Joe Vecchio from the Cup of Joe show. I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, bye.
I'm on a cup of Joe. I crave a plate of Dave. Open a jar of Joe. Don't put anything on. I'll chug a jug of George. I'll sip a mug of Doug. The creamer of steam. How many more does that leave?
This is the Quality News Network. New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg says construction at the World Trade Center site will go on despite the discovery of human remains this past week in another work site in Lower Manhattan. He says the Ground Zero site has been thoroughly gone through and excavated, and there is no reason to believe any additional human remains will be found there. Iraq's Deputy Prime Minister is in London urging Britain to stay the course, telling British Prime Minister Tony Blair that Iraq is vital to the world's future. Blair has reportedly assured him that Britain intends to, in his words, hold its nerve in Iraq. The number of American military deaths this month in Iraq has now risen to 87, making it the deadliest month for U.S. troops in 2 years. In Baghdad, in the past 24 hours, militants targeting police recruits in one part of the city and shoppers in another have killed 44 Iraqis. In addition, another 50 bodies, most of them tortured, have been found dumped throughout Baghdad. The Sudanese government has told UN Secretary General Kofi Annan's personal envoy to that country to leave within 3 days. The government is unhappy with statements made on the envoy's website about declining morale among Sudanese military troops who've suffered setbacks in several recent battles with rebels. 7 Palestinians have been killed, 20 wounded by Israeli forces in the Gaza Strip. Israel says it's trying to root out those responsible for rocket attacks on Israel. Meanwhile, several Israeli cabinet ministers are calling for a military operation to retake Gaza's southern border to prevent rockets from being smuggled in. Major changes are coming for the century-old Panama Canal. Panamanians have voted to approve spending $5.25 billion to expand the canal so it can accommodate larger ships. The project involves a workforce of 40,000 people to build a third set of locks. Backing off previous statements not to do so, Illinois Democratic Senator Barack Obama is now saying that he may consider a run for the White House in 2008. Former German Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder writes in a new book that in his meetings with President Bush while Schroeder was in office, the president so often referred to God that Schroeder worried that religion might be influencing the president's political decisions. Schroeder served as Germany's chancellor from 1998.